It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. In case you haven't heard, there is a rather large soccer tournament being played in Brazil. It happens once every 4 years, and it's called the World Cup. And unlike baseball's World Series, every country in the world is eligible to play in it after getting through the qualifying rounds. The United States is one of the teams that is making a pretty good showing despite yesterday's heartbreaking draw with Portugal, which tied the game 2-2 in the last 30 seconds. The U.S. can advance to the second stage of the World Cup, the elimination round, with at least one more tie against Germany, the Americans' opponent, on Thursday. The question is, will all of this World Cup excitement make soccer a more popular sport in Pittsburgh, where baseball, football, and hockey are clearly the preferred sports in this sports-crazy town? I'm joined now by our sports guy, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette sports writer emeritus Bob Dvorak. You can check out his video blog. It's called Sports and That. Welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh, Bob.
Hey, Paul, can you feel the excitement building?
Well, I mean, you watched the game yesterday, right? U.S. versus Portugal. The U.S. looked as though it was going to, for the first time in its history, fall behind 1-0 and rally for a victory. It's never done that, apparently, in World Cup competition. They were leading late in the game. Portugal tied it at the end, and it was heartbreaking. But what was your take on it? This is not your father's boring soccer, is it, Bob?
No, it's not. We got used to the nil-nil tie as, something that came out of this fantastic, beautiful game. But, it's a lot more open. You can see a lot more athleticism and strategy leading to more scoring. Tough to get that tie because it would have been an automatic ticket to the next round. But
had the U.S. won,
to,
right?
To advance.
Well, a lot of Pittsburghers are piling into pubs to watch these games. Do you get the sense that people here are maybe more excited about the World Cup than they have been in the past?
Well, there's a lot of Pittsburghers asking, why are they showing a yellow card to some guy? Because they'd never show a yellow card to Mean Joe Green, would they? how come they're not hitting a ball with a stick? If they call it football, how come nobody's throwing it? See, that's the kind of thing you're up against. But I think there has been a growing following, a growing support for this sport and this spectacle. So, it's slowly but surely entering our social awareness.
Sports commentators are talking about a halo effect that the World Cup afterglow will boost interest in soccer in the United States. Do you see that happening?
I remember what Chuck Noll used to say about these experts. They don't know what they're talking about, and they don't have to prove it. there was a halo effect when the women won the world championship, and I've been hearing since 1960 that soccer was the new game that was going to captivate American sports fans, and I don't think it's happened yet, but it may take some more time. But if people love winners, Paul, people love spectacles. They love big events and they love winners. If all those things come together, they'll feel good about themselves.
Well, if the predicted popularity of it hasn't materialized, why do you think that is?
Well, I don't know. Some people think watching a soccer game is like watching a guy push a rock up a hill that doesn't have, all that. You don't have the physical confrontations, and the drama may be a little more subtle and maybe a little more esoteric, but a game is filled with all kinds of things in it. But I just think it was not America's game at the start, and it hasn't broken through to win its place on the public attention span.
We're talking with our sports guy, Bob Dvorak, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette sports writer emeritus. Soccer will get a big boost in the region next month when two of Europe's premier professional teams, AC Milan and Manchester City, play an exhibition game at Heinz Field. How do you think fans here will feel when they get a taste of that?
Well, I think it'll be a little like the Luke Bryan concert. They'll leave a lot of garbage behind in the tailgate lots. But
are you predicting soccer hooliganism, Bob?
No. This is because the passion's not there. You're not going to be able to. I don't think that there's going to be raging arguments in the tap rooms about which as the better midfield striker. It's not that it hasn't reached that level yet. But I think, once again, this will be a spectacle. This is something different. This is something that Heinz Field and, you know, I think they'll go there and fill the place up and just kind of enjoy the occasion.
The Riverhounds are a professional team, a minor league team, and their attendance has dropped. What is happening with the Riverhounds, and is it a case of Pittsburgh just being so used to big league sports that they're not really going to get interested until it's a major league soccer team from the MLS, as it's called?
Well, I think they've got organization problems. They've got an interim coach. They had to fire the coach. They're not winning. And the interim coach has really been very direct in saying this team lacks effort and spirit and fight. So if you're putting a bad product on the field, I don't think that's going to help your attendance whatsoever. And yeah, I'm still reminded of what Yogi Berra used to say back in the day. If people don't want to come to the games, you can't stop them.
Another Yogi Berra famous malaprop. Well, speaking of baseball, the Pirates don't have to worry about being popular. They seem to be doing pretty well at the gate, but there's something that's leaving a sour taste in the mouths of fans, players, managers, and sports journalists, and that's the use of instant replay. It's being used much more extensively, and it is interrupting games and sometimes not correcting the calls that it's supposed to correct. On top of that, Bob, you have another rule this year regarding the home plate collision rule. Explain this rule and how it works and why it doesn't seem to be really working at all.
I wish I could explain this rule, Paul, because I have no idea what's going on there. And I told you this instant replay would be it's the tool of the devil. It pretends to correct everything, and all it does is add another layer of bureaucracy. And it does interrupt the games, but
you did predict that, Bob. We must give you your props for that. You did that very thing on this show.
They played this game for 150 years, and the catcher could block the plate and tag the runner out. Okay, that rule is on the books that the catcher can't block the plate if he doesn't have the ball. So now they've gone into this whole thing about nobody knows exactly what this rule says anymore and what's the right way to do it.
Now, wait a minute. Let me just interrupt. They've created this rule where the catcher does not block the plate anymore without the ball because why?
They wanted to eliminate the injuries to the catch, concussions and injuries and needless injuries that keep players out of the game. It was to make the sport safer. That was the intent, a noble intent. Can we agree on that?
We can agree on that.
But it's not baseball anymore. It's some guy in New York looking at a picture saying, yeah, I guess that was it. And then they overturn the rulings on the field. That's what gets me. The egregious example is Russell Martin. The runner's forced out at home plate, and he has his foot on the plate because that's how you force a runner out. The umpire calls him out, but New York reversed it, and people are scratching their heads saying, what do you have to do? What is it there to do? And I think that baseball is really going to have to, and baseball admitted that was the wrong call. So now we have this great thing where they admit they were wrong for overruling the umpires who had the call right. And that's not what replay was supposed to do. There's a bit of a conundrum here, is there?
There is, and then obviously baseball is going to need to do a rethink, but they should have listened to you in the first place.
Well,
Bob, if
they would only listen to me, Paul, I think many of our problems would just fade away.
Bob Dvorak, unfortunately, we have to fade away, but thanks as always for joining us. We appreciate it, my friend.
You're welcome, Paul. It was good talking to you as always.
Thanks for listening. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. See you tomorrow.